tune this off.
Oh, that's okay. We're
getting more time than money.
Oh, I wish somebody did that. I'd love to hear that. They had a big wreck down on the highway.
Yeah, I passed it.
So I ended up having to get stop and do all the pictures and upload them and download them, all you do.
It didn't look like it was too long ago.
It wasn't. I came right up on it. I was there when they took her out of the car. So.
Rolled that car. It was way out of the field.
Can I go straight this way?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Right through that door.
I did lock my car. I think it might be nice if I had keys to get in.
You locked your car. Why would you do something like that?
I know. It's just habit. My husband's making me get in.
I don't even take the keys out of my car, let alone lock it.
How long ago was that wreck?
About 2 hours ago.
Oh, no kidding.
Was it northbound or southbound?
Well, it's hard to tell.
Oh, yeah. Where
is but it rolled several times and is just west of Lake Beckwith in that big open field.
Oh, you're talking about on 165?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh.
But the car rolled several times.
Holy cow.
You say she.
What was it coming around that turn or?
You know, I don't know. It's kind of a straightaway. It'd be kind of hard to
tell where.
Hard to tell which way she's going.
Went haywire, huh?
I guess. But it does drop off quite a bit there into that field. So maybe she just got off the edge a little bit.
Yeah.
Got a little too overcorrected and couldn't. Yeah.
It's bound to happen eventually.
And probably going too fast.
Probably, I guess.
Yeah. 2 hours ago, I'd make it right around. I wonder if it was high school kids. They only get about half an hour for lunch, and they try to get down to.
They try to get down there and then
they get something to eat. What's that place? Sonic.
Yeah.
Let's hope not.
They rolled several times, huh?
It looked like it. It looked pretty serious. There were several highway patrol.
And they have 5 emergency vehicles. The cops weren't even there yet. And they have a down power line, which is live on the ground.
Oh, wow.
And people were wandering around near that. And the sum total of...
wires down.
Yeah, it's live in the ground right out there, and people are wandering around yet, and they hadn't cordoned any of that off. So.
Holy cow.
So, you just start to picture problems. Well, I don't know what happened to it.
What are you looking for?
Well, I have my little... mini recorder, because I thought I'd remind myself of notes later.
Well?
Because I don't like to handwrite notes as much as I used to.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'll cheat. Oh, well. That's not been meant to be.
I'll share some stuff with you. It's fine.
Good. No. Good. John's on top of it.
Good.
I'll cheat from him.
Well, I'm starting to get the hang of it. Anyway, you were saying that you, the Stewarts hired you. From back east to come out here and train horses?
No, he came back east when I was riding in New York. And he sent word up to Jackson when I finished my last mount, would I meet him in the clubhouse. This was at Jamaica racetrack in Jamaica, Long Island. So I met him and he wanted me that's when they first opened, we were getting ready to open up Centennial. And he and Mr. Duell, I think, Connie designed the ranch down here and the barns and all of that stuff. And then I think he had a lot to do with Centennial Racetrack, too.
It's in the same place as Stewart's is now? Same?
Same.
Same place?
Yeah. And anyway, I didn't, naturally I was riding for the man that owned the Empire State Building back east.
Wow.
I was riding for the Darby Dan stable. That was his stable. And, I was leading rider in most of them tracks back there, so, I mean, it wasn't, at the time, this didn't seem to be too great a place for me to give up what I had back there and come here, you know.
Sure.
So, several years later, I was in Phoenix. I'd been in California, and then I went to Phoenix because my folks lived there. They lived between Apache Junction and Phoenix. And my father was getting pretty old. have bad health, so I decided to come in that part of the country because they had racing at Phoenix at the old fairgrounds. They hadn't built Turf Paradise yet. And also in the summertime they had racing at Prescott. So I decided to come in that direction and hang around there, which I did.
Mm-hmm. Ray, when was this around that? I mean, approximately what time frame was that?
I went from California to Phoenix in the fall of 1956. And then I stayed in that area until after my father died. And that's when I came to Centennial. And rode up there, and that's when I got hooked up with Connie Stewart again. But I didn't go to the ranch with him, I just rode for him up there at Centennial. And then, my wife died, and I was at my sister and brother-in-law's place in Fort Defiance, Arizona, well, Window Rock, because he was a big shot in the Navajo Development Company. And I decided there was nothing I could do there. I did work a little while for the Navajo tribe, but he was the boss, you know, the big cheese.
Sure.
And here I'm his brother-in-law. So naturally, if it hadn't have been for his superintendent, I wouldn't, you know, he wouldn't have put me to work, because you're supposed to be Navajo to run any kind of equipment or anything, and the only white people, only white eyes were bosses. And you taught the Indians how to operate the machinery and stuff like that, which they caught on real quick, and they were good, very good. And I enjoyed working with them. But pretty soon I decided I'd had enough of that. And after my wife died, I was trying to figure out what to do, and I happened to think of Connie Stewart. So I give him a call. Well, I think I was in Durango at the time, for some reason. And, oh, I know, they're for the state highway department, the superintendent for the state highway roads out of Durango, he was going to retire. So I took the test and got a 99 on it, and they told me the job was mine if he retired. Well, he decided to work another 5 years to, you know, increase his pension, which I can't blame him for that. So here I am in Durango, no job, you know. So I said, I got to do something. To what? And I had to think of Connie Stewart, and I said, let's see now, where in the devil is he? Someplace in Colorado. So I dug my wallet out and went through it, and I found his address. I said, huh, Rye, Colorado, huh, I never heard of it. So I give him a call, and I said, Connie, this is Ray Adair. I said, can you use some help? He said, could you be here yesterday? I said, well, if you could use me, I'll be on my way. He said, get here as quick as you can, because I can sure use you. And I've been here ever since.
There you go.
Wow. And when was that? Remember, time-wise?
You said the fall of 64?
Yeah.
Sometime in 64.
I think, yeah, it was the fall of the year.
Okay.
Because I wasn't here very long until we got some snow.
Okay. Oh, fall of 64.
Well, that could be any time of year right here.
Well, I learned to find that out. Yeah, I was with Connie down there for 5 years. Then I went to work for Shorty Talbert. He did a lot of construction, built ponds and ditches and leveled land and stuff like that. I got hooked up with him.
What did you do with him, right?
Oh, heck, I run heavy equipment, dozer, maintainer. He also had a power scraper, Euclid. Mm-hmm. And I worked for him, worked with him for about 5 years, right? We built ditches and, like I say, level land. Well, over on, now that I want to think of the name of it, I can't. You know that road we take sometimes coming out of Pueblo and take the back road and come
Burnt
down?
Mill? Water Barrel?
Well, you run into it, but it's the one that comes right out of, remember, it comes down alongside the Greenhorn? I mean, the, yeah, not the Greenhorn, but the... Come on, brain, get in gear. Runs into the... Well, I'll be damned.
We're coming out of Pueblo, going south, coming home. Mm-hmm. I can think of it as the Burnt Mill Road.
Well, yeah, you take the Burnt Mill and you come up through that way. And remember I told you when we went by us, I said, you see all that land? I leveled that one time.
Yeah, okay.
That's the Eagle Ranch.
Oh, Eagle Ranch.
Yeah, I leveled all of that. That's when I was with Cullen, working for Cullen, Tim Cullen.
Yeah, well, when did you start working for the Pueblo County Roads and Bridges?
What year was that?
Didn't we figure it was about 1970?
I think it was 70 or 71.
Yeah, because when I came here, you were already plowing the snow.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Well, anyway, I was working for Jim Cullen, and he and I, just he and I then, and we're eating lunch, and I told him, I said, you know, Marty Moore was the road commissioner then. I said, Marty Moore, I said, every time I could get home, I was living down at Apache then, I said, every time I get home, Marty Moore is sitting under that apple tree in the yard waiting for me. And I said, he wants me to go to work for the county, and I said, he's there every night when I get home. I kept telling him I got a job. Oh, Jim and I was eating lunch one day. There was just the two of us on the job. We was finishing up. We was building that road to go up there, you know, where the, what was, there used to be a restaurant, one thing, another on the hill there. What did they call it? That building that's...
What town are we talking about?
When you go down the hill. And around, you remember where I told you, the Williams used to own all that land there?
Oh, okay.
Remember it's setting up on the
hill. Oh, Taco Rock.
Yeah.
Oh, Taco Rock.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, that road that goes right there, takes off and goes clear up on top. I built that. After I built that's when, that's the last job that I worked with Jim Coleman. But anyway, I told him, I said, you know, Marty Moore's trying to get me to go to work for the county. So Jim and I was eating lunch one day, and he said, well, I guess Marty Moore was there last night when you got home. And I said, yeah, he was there, and he had a bottle of Johnny Roe Walker Red.
That's all Jake. He's a half Indian.
So. He says, he still wants you to go to work, huh? And I said, yeah. He says, you know, he said, I hate to lose you, but if you don't take that job, he says, that's to be your area. I said, yeah, I'd be right in this area.
It's smart to take it.
And he said, well, if you don't take that job, I'm going to be mad at you. So I said, well, if he's there when I get home, I'll
finally let him
talk to him about it. So anyway, I told him, I said, I'll tell you what, I'll go to work for you, but I said, I won't quit Jim until he gets somebody to take my place. I said, building this road, and I said, I don't want to leave you hung up without an operator. And he said, take your time, as long as I know you're going to go to work for us.
Yeah.
So we finished that road up there. I went to work for the county, and that's where I retired, was from the county.
Let's see, you retired?
70?
No,
1990? 90 or 91.
I'll just say 90.
That's close enough.
Yeah.
What's about the worst weather you've seen around here?
4 foot of snow in the middle of rye.
there was that 5 foot of snow.
Five. Oh, yeah.
Winter of 86, 87. Yeah, and one that's snowfall.
That's when I was living before the house burned down.
Yeah.
And I had Samantha.
Oh, John.
Had a little pony. She's only come up to about my waist. There are withers. Feet about that big round.
She's a miniature?
No, she's just a pony.
Just a Shetland. But she didn't look like a Shetland. She looked like a regular horse. I mean, a lot of Shetlands, you know, the feet are big and they're, well, they're not, most of them are not coordinated, you know, in their build. And she was. She looked just like a, well, miniature horse is what she looked like.
Anyhow.
So, I finished plowing snow, got the road, the main roads opened, and places that I knew that people were, had to get out maybe, you know, like if they had older people, some of them were, health weren't so great.
Sure.
So I took care of those kind of people first. That and the main roads. So I got home and I said, oh boy, I got better get down there and break a trail for that little pony so she can get over at the corner where the water barrel was, water tank. And where she, you know, get out into the barns. And I got down there and hell. She had a trail she'd walk, and she was so short that once she'd get on that trail she'd made, it went over from her barn, mm-hmm. over to the corner where the water tank was, and down along the deal, down to where her place is, and across the fence there, and then back up, and then there was two stalls there. And she'd go in one, and out of it, and into the other, and out of it. And she had the best trail that you ever saw.
She's a smart cookie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't have to do a bit of shoveling. She'd have packed it all down.
Wow.
She was a smart little critter.
Ray, you referred to the fire.
Pardon?
You referred to the house burning down.
Oh.
Tell me about that. The last. It burned down. What happened?
I don't know. I was.
He was out of town. I was living in the guest house at the back of the property. He was in the house. And they said it was a chimney fire. That would have been April of
88. Yeah. Yeah, I was down at...
taking care of Halsey's.
Halsey's.
So you were out of town and your house burnt down?
Yeah.
He was.
I was.
I was living in the...
And you were back in the guest house, so you were there.
I was there.
But it was gone. There wasn't anything
gone.
Yeah,
well,
I remember.
So you came back to your house being gone.
The sheriff come over. I was... Spring Canyon.
Spring Canyon Ranch.
Out at Spring
Pryor.
Canyon.
Do you know where Pryor
is?
It's down south.
Anyway, it was back about 5-6 miles back south, west of Pryor. Anyway, I was staying in the bunkhouse there. They were gone. They'd gone to Florida, and I was taking care of it while they were gone, feeding the stock. So I was living in a bunkhouse. They wanted me to live in their house, and I said, hell no, I'm going to live in the bunkhouse. I didn't have to worry about, you know, I could come and go when I wanted to and didn't have to worry about getting the house messed up. But anyway, about 1 o'clock in the morning, bang, bang on, oh, it's about 2 o'clock, I guess, bang, bang on the door, and somebody hollered at me, hey, Ray, Mr. Adair, Ray. So I ordered the doors unlocked, come on in, and I grabbed my pants and pulled them on. It was the sheriff from Walsenburg. He said, I got some bad news for you, and I said, well, lay it on me. He said, your house burned down. I said, what? I said, damn, I guess I better head up there. He said, ain't no sense you going, it's all burned down.
Ain't nothing there.
He said, it's gone, ain't no sense you going. He said, I just wanted you to know.
What was that like? I mean, I'm sure you lost some really important things to you.
Well, yeah, I was trying to, you know, naturally you've got all kinds of questions in your head. Mm-hmm. What all happened and how it happened and why it happened. And he said nobody was hurt, nothing was hurt other than you just don't have a house anymore.
Mm-hmm. Various.
Where was the house at?
In Woodland Acres.
Over in Woodland Acres.
Right over there, 2 miles.
But, I mean, did you lose some things that kind of were really significant to you then?
Everything that I had that was in there.
Everything you own type of thing?
Mm-hmm. Pictures,
yeah.
Photographs,
history.
Scrapbooks and all that sort of stuff.
That's really hard. Sometimes.
But
oh yeah,
for anybody.
Nobody got hurt. None of the animals got hurt. So the rest of it, it's just paper.
Well, life goes on.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Yep.
So what was the town like about 1980? The grocery store. Was there a grocery store here in town at that time?
Yeah, Peterson's. Oh, yeah.
Peterson's.
I worked there.
Yeah, he had like a butcher shop and had a nice little store, right?
Do you know where Peterson's is?
I don't.
Oh, well, right over there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking at the blue roof.
Okay.
Yeah, it was in that building right there. Mm-hmm.
And they lived in the house across the
right across the
driveway.
Right off of the creek.
And they had a combination variety store.
Yeah.
And downstairs was a cafe.
Yeah, and you worked
nice.
There too, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Going to school and worked everywhere.
Yeah, I remember that.
Have any idea of how many people lived here around then?
When I came, which would have been in 71, they had a sign as you come into town or whatever, and a population of 379, which
took in all the
surrounding area.
All the surrounding area.
That's a little bit bigger now.
I would say so.
Quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quite a bit.
I read where you talked about a flood. And you got separated from the family?
Yeah, I was down at the ranch, and I couldn't get back because of all the roads were washed out, all the bridges were washed out on the Greenhorn, and all up in here, it was all, where we're setting water was probably 3 or 4 foot deep down through here.
Is that right?
Well, the creek is right there.
Yeah, the creek's right.
So was it just a heavy runoff? In the springtime?
A lot of rain.
And you said that washed out like all the roads or bridges?
Bridges and roads where the roads crossed the creek or got where the water could get to them, they were gone.
How did you deal with all that? How long did it take before things were a little more normal again?
Oh, hell. Before they got anywhere close to normal, it was probably a couple of years. But they were, they had where you could go, you might have to detour for some places to come back around, especially if you had to go across the creek, because it really took out all the bridges, clear on down past where Colorado City is now, because Stewart's Ranch is there. Well, you've seen that scene, the sign.
Sure.
And the main house was right there on the creek. And the water was right up. Well, it didn't get in the house, but it was right up the edge of the foundation.
Hmm. Too close for comfort.
Definitely. Yeah.
And you knew all those bridges firsthand.
Oh, yeah. I knew the one down there where, where the house is. You cross the creek and the racetrack. Where we trained the horses was over east, and no way you could get over there for a couple of days until the creek went down and you crossed the creek. You know. Of course, some of the horses didn't care much about it, but coax them.
Yeah.
Some of them we didn't take because they were, well, the real young horses, we didn't put them under that kind of pressure.
Did they ever do any racing there at the track, or is it just for training?
Just for training. They started, they built that other track down there where on Duell's place, mm-hmm. where they had the stand and all that stuff, which they were going to...
have match races?
Yeah, have, well, kind of a little. And see, we had a four-stall starting gate, electric starting gate.
Do you know where he's talking about?
What the Duells are?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Well, I'll explain it real quick.
Yeah, you do it.
You know Stewart's Ranch, and there's two entrances. There's the main entrance, and then to the west there's another one. And you take that one and turn right at your first opportunity when you get past the paddocks, and that winds you back to where he's talking about. It looked like it would have been a nice setup.
Yeah, they had
they have mint juleps
and everything.
Yeah.
And they had the track laid out, but they never did really do any work on it. It would have been real nice.
Oh. Ray, what do you think, you know, with everything, lots of things change over the years, but do you still really follow racing? Are you still really interested? Or is it just so different now?
It's so different now.
Yeah.
And that there's nobody around here that knows anything, you know, to... Well, they don't care about it, you know. And there's nobody I can talk to that knows anything about it.
Not like you do.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, I ought to know something about it. I did it most of my life.
How'd you get started being a jockey?
Well, when I rode my first race when I was 6 years old. Match race.
Did you win?
Yep. Matched against a gray mare from what the hell's that town between Durango and Cortez?
Farmington?
No, that's way.
The other way.
South. Oh hell.
It's in that book. I forget it.
Anyway.
What do you get when you win as a six-year-old back then in a race like that? I mean, what is that like?
I got five silver dollars.
Wow. That's quite a lot. For
back then, yeah.
That's a lot for
five
silver
right dollars.
Yeah.
I rode a horse called Static.
What did you do with those silver dollars?
Of that table there. Pardon?
What did you do with your silver dollars?
I give them to my folks. Anyway, and the guy that owned him was, he was from Texas. His name was Louis Kirk.
I don't know much about any of this. Do they start training jockeys still that young? Or do they wait till they're teens? Or I mean, was that common back then to have such little ones?
I was just a kid.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't a real jockey.
It was a matched race. And Louis had brought the horse up from Texas. And then he had to go back to Texas for whatever. I was too young to care about that kind of stuff. All I knew, he put me in charge of the horse while he was gone. And I fed him and cleaned the stall and I'd ride him down to the river.
That's a lot for a six-year-old.
This was in, well, Bloomfield, New Mexico.
That's it.
And I'd ride him about a mile and a half down to the river, the San Juan River. I'd ride him down there once a day to give him, you know, get his water, ride him back. And Louis had told me, he said, whatever you do, and while I rode him, all I had on was just his bridle. And he says, whatever you do, he says, you can jog him and all, but he said, don't break him into a gallop because he'll take off with you. Well, That worked all right for about 3 days.
And boys being boys.
Yeah. And I you know, jogging along, I said, I wonder if this little rascal can run. So I like that, and he hit my heels and his ribs. And here I'm, man, I'm hanging on to his mane. And I think I was probably about that high up off his back to stretch straight out. And I tell you what, he could run.
What did that feel like?
So somebody blatted on me. Somebody. Because he ran all the way back, and where the stalls were, there was people that owned the store there in Farmington, and he had some corrals and stalls back there, and he had, that's where he kept the horse. He rented one of those stalls. we come up the road, and here's the right, like the road's this way, and then right here is a kind of a lane, and it's probably about as wide as from here to you. And it went back, and then the stalls was about over here. He never even slowed up. And in the middle of it, there was an old Model T Ford that was on blocks. And it didn't have anything but the hood on and the windshield and nothing else. But it was right in the middle, just sitting crossways in the middle of that driveway. Well, he was going so fast and the ball at once were right there, and he saw it, and he jumped over it.
Is he a thoroughbred? Yeah.
Oh, did he? Cleared it real good. And I cleared it with him. And then when he got to where he knew his stall was, he wheeled around. At the end of the stall he went, and as he did, I reached up here, and he went on in, and I dropped down. I dropped down here on my feet. And finally got my breath.
Was it scary?
Didn't have time.
So fast?
Until it was over. Then I thought about it. No, I didn't have time to get scared. Too busy hanging on.
So then everybody knew because they ratted.
Oh, yeah.
And then did they start saying, why didn't you do some more riding? Is that kind
well,
of what happened?
Well, Louie had him matched over, well, it was a rodeo over on the Mesa. Across to San Juan, the south side of the San Juan River. So he had matched it with a gray mare from up here in Colorado, between a little town between Cortez and Durango, in the mountains that I had back there. And anyway, it was a gray mare, and she beat everybody. They'd matched her all over Colorado, Arizona, and every place she won, every time they matched her. So old Louie Kirk decided that we could outrun her. We did.
And you decided from then on you're going to be a jockey?
No. I was kind of, well, I hadn't decided too much on anything. I just took what was handy.
Was that a kind of thing that you just started, and pretty soon one thing led to another?
Well, yeah, I think word kind of got around that I could handle a horse a little bit.
That's six.
And I had a cousin, Jimmy Ashcroft, and he was working for a guy up by McGaffey, New Mexico. It had a ranch up there and raised horses, and he raised some thoroughbreds. Jimmy was small like me, and he went to work for Dean. The man's last name was Dean. And he wound up going to California for Roy Cloud. Won some match races here and there, and anyway, he was small. So Roy Cloud got him, had a contract, he was learning to be a jockey. So he told Roy that he had a cousin that was even smaller than him. He said, well, he know anything about horses? He says, he's better than I am. I didn't know that for years and years that he told Roy. Well, the last time I talked to Roy before he died, he was pretty sick, and I was riding at Santa Anita. And he was living at well, at the ranch in San Cedro. And I went down to see him, and that's when he told me that Jimmy had told him that. He said, "You know how come you wound up here?" I said, "Well, not really. All I know is my folks put me on the bus in Prescott for San Diego."
How old were you?
16. And I wound up, went to San Diego, rode the bus to San Diego, and Roy met me there.
And you weren't even sure on that bus what all you were to do when you got off?
Well, I knew it had to do with horses, and that was good enough.
That's good enough. Even if you had been mucking out stalls?
Oh, I did that.
Bagging?
Oh, hell, I did.
And that was all you would have ever done?
I did that for about 3-4 years before I ever rode a race. Mm-hmm. Because I only weighed 72 pounds, and they wanted me to put on weight so I wouldn't have to carry so much dead weight. So they had me to doctors, and the doctors had put me on all kinds of diets and foods to eat and everything, and I didn't gain an ounce. Still stayed 72 pounds.
At 16.
So finally they decided, I was on the racetrack, Tam Farran, Bay Meadows, and Santa Anita finally opened up. And it, well, of course, it's down there at Caliente Racetrack. So they decided, we had just one horse called Gall. And we had a horse running nothing but big races, handicaps, and stake races. His name was Boston Brook. And he wouldn't do any, he galloped nice and all like that, but he wouldn't put himself out in the mornings unless he had company. Then he'd get right with it. So they used me on Gall to help train old Boston Brook. We're going 3/4 of a mile one morning, and I'd always let Boston Brook catch me, get on by me. And I was feeling kind of good and kind of ornery, and I thought to myself, I wonder if that horse could catch me if I ask old Gall to run a little bit. He couldn't catch me. And Boss wasn't too happy about it.
I suppose not.
Mm. He was a big man too. You know, they had Bill Motor was the one that really taught me, but he didn't have anything. Bill Motor wasn't even, he was an assistant trainer at that time. Slim Lee was a huge man. Not fat, he was just big. I think he could take his hand like that and pick up a basketball.
It's pretty big.
Great, yeah, he was about 6'5" or 6", and big, just huge. And I was always about half scared of him. And I don't know why, because he was really always really kind to me.
Yeah, you were just off the reservation, wasn't you?
He was a white eyes. Oh, God.
What was your most memorable horse or your most memorable times racing? And why?
Well, I guess when I was riding for Whitney's, we had 2 3-year-olds. One was named Mamie Luke, and the other one was named Counterpoint. I was thinking of everything, Count a Bit and all of that. I wrote him too. But anyway, I guess Mamie Luke was a shame about him, because he had bad legs, front legs. And he could take a 100-foot rope and strangled Counterpoint. But he couldn't last because he couldn't take the
stress.
Pressure, yeah. On the building, his legs wouldn't handle it. But I rode Counterpoint too. Let's see, I rode him 4 times. The first 3 times I rode him, he finished 3rd. And the last time I rode him was in the Preakness, and he finished 2nd.
And that was Counterfeit?
Mm-hmm.
Counterpoint.
Counterpoint, okay.
And he wound up, I never did get to ride him after that. Just, well, we had an entry, and Mamie Loop was my horse, because I went to work for Whitney's on account of Mamie Loop, because he wouldn't do nothing for anybody. And the trainer asked me when, this was at Hialeah in Florida, asked me one morning if I had time to come over, and he had a horse he'd like for me to get on and see what I thought about him. So I said, well, I'll be over there in the morning. I said, how about 9 o'clock? I said, I think I got a break in between where I can get over there. So I did. Me and old Mamie Luke got along real good. And well, then he didn't run. Let's see. They went to, when the Hialeah was over, they went to Kentucky, to Keeneland. And anyway, I wound up there. I can't remember. I wound up there for some reason. So the trainer caught me one morning, and he said, you gonna stay up here? The races hadn't started yet there yet. They were gonna start in the next Monday, I think. And he said, you gonna stay here for the meet? And I said, well, I'm here, I might as well. He said, remember that horse you got on for me down in Hialeah, that little dark chestnut? I said, you mean Mamie Luke? He said, oh, you remember his name? I said, yeah. I said, I kind of liked him. And he said, I think he liked you too. He said, I'm gonna run him. He said, will you ride him for me? And I said, sure. He said, well, it's in the Bluegrass Stake, and that would be his first start. I said, well, I'm happy. And we won it.
And so you won on Mamie Luke in Kentucky?
Yep.
Was that the first time you raced in Kentucky?
Oh, no.
I wouldn't think. Okay.
Oh, hell, let's see. That was in 51.
Kind of think so, yeah.
Yeah, it was in 1951. And I guess the first time I rode in Kentucky was in 38. The old Latonia racetrack, I was leading rider there. And only got to ride a week. And a horse flipped in the starting gate with me, and me trying to get out from under him and him trying to get out of there. He stepped on my hand and busted my this one. And this one. But you know what? I won 3 races that day.
How dangerous is it to be a jockey from what you went through? I'm sure it's different now again.
No, it ain't.
Oh, it isn't?
Oh, no.
Okay.
There's 2 or 3 killed every year. Jockeys.
Horses, too.
It can be a mess. Well, I rode it. I went to Ruidoso, New Mexico. And I rode 1 day. And I won 3 races. The first 3 races I rode, and the last one I rode, it was an 8-horse race and 3 finished. 5 of us went down. That's when I busted this again.
So, is it common for jockeys to run multiple races in a day, or is that what you used to do when you were
when I was riding at Caliani? One would they race Saturdays and Sundays, and the They had 11 races on Saturday and 12 on Sunday. So that's 23 races. Mm-hmm. And I won, in the 2 days, I won 12 races. And I rode 23.
You rode 23 races in 2 days?
Yep.
And you won 12?
Yep. Kellyanne. I won more races there than any rider that ever rode there. And finally they asked me not to come back. Yeah, I was living in L.A. And I'd go down there on the weekends. So this was on, they raced Saturday and Sunday. And anyway, Friday night, another rider, a friend of mine, came up there and he said, came to my apartment in Hollywood. Well, actually, in Brentwood, what they wound up being Brentwood.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, I was kind of surprised to see him. And he says, you figuring on going down there, riding down there tomorrow? I said, well, yeah, hell, I'm on the card tomorrow and Sunday. I got him out in every race. Might as well go. And he said, they don't want you down there anymore. I said, whoa, what are you talking about? And he was second lead rider there. Oh, what the hell was his name anyway? His brother was his brother drove racing cars. And he was, well, hell, he was leading driver for 2 years in a row.
That's his brother, though.
Yeah, and that
thing was. The jockey, was his name Gordon or something like that? That was in that book. Yeah, here
I can see him like he's standing right in front of me.
So that's how you get fired. You're too amazing. Because that's like getting fired, right? At least from the banned from a racetrack type of thing.
That was one way. Of course, he had numerous ways.
What does that mean?
Means he was not a conformist by any means. He managed to do
I was
thing.
Taught, and I started out back in the days when you didn't have cameras and you didn't have all that baloney. And you had a starter, you had two patrol judges. And three judges did a stand that they didn't have any photo finishes and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There'd be three men up in the stand at the finish line, right? Well, they'd look right down on the finish line. And if it'd be a real close one, they'd have to figure out who. And sometimes they got it right, sometimes they got it wrong, too. Yep, it was really different in them days. And I got news for you, if you didn't, and like I say, I was taught by some of the best before I ever rode a race. They'd get, in the mornings I'd be training horses and like we'd be schooling them when they finally, well at first we didn't have any starting gates, you had walk-up starts, and that was fun.
Walk-up starts.
Yeah, because you take 12 horses and some of them, God knows what they shot them with, and trying to get them lined up so the starter could holler, go.
They're about half crazy anyway.
And, well, yeah, and they're there to run. They know what they're on the track for, and they're ready to go. And you try to get 12 horses in line to where the starter can holler go. You're supposed to walk up, just walk up. Some of them jumping as high as halfway up them windows there, trying to get away. All they know is it's supposed to run. That was fun. Sometimes some of them would be turned the wrong way one. They'd be all pretty well lined up and they'd start to holler and go, and about that time one of them would wheel around, or you'd have too much of a hold in your mouth to keep you from taking off too quick. So I said, to hell with it, and he didn't want to go back the other way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you don't have to tell me about horses.
Right, you got seven?
Seven, yeah.
No, you do?
One's a little filly. She was born in February. But
oh, wow.
Yeah, paint horses mostly. Mm. But no thoroughbreds. I'd be afraid to climb on the back of a thoroughbred.
Well.
No, you wouldn't.
Nah. You're little. It should probably be great. Be racing, that'd be your new career.
No.
Yeah, sure.
No, I don't think that's not in my blood. That's crazy.
You survived Iraq. Or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to cut it too awful short, but you know, an hour is good, I think.
I
appreciate your time.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Thank you, Ray.
I really do.
It's fantastic.
Well, I appreciated it myself. I kind of
enjoys talking.